You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, last winter, and frankly, spring all the way up to opening day, you were as busy as any beat reporter in baseball. The Braves were as busy as any front office in baseball. As we enter the next offseason, do you anticipate another wild winter like that, or do you think that they have sort of done enough of the reshaping of this roster and this organization that maybe it'll be a little quieter this time around?
You know, I can't anticipate it being any busier than last year, but at the same time, they do have some holes to fill, some questions to answer within their lineup, especially, and in their bullpen. And, you know, if you look at it, you can say that Freddie Freeman will likely, you know, is going to be their first baseman. Nick Markakis is going to be in the outfield, whether that's in right field or left field. We'll see. You've got Andrelton Simmons at short, and you've got Hector Olivera at third. Other than that, they have said that they look at Chase Peterson as their second baseman in the future, but his second half struggles have at least created a reason to look at Daniel Castro and other options there. Cameron Maben's second half struggles have also created reason to wonder, do you stick with him? You know, they had talked about trading him when he was hot earlier in the season. Now that trade value has been diminished significantly. And in left field, you've got Michael Moore and Nick Swisher. Neither guy should be viewed as an everyday guy, and Adonis Garcia. And obviously behind the plate, you know, while they would like to bring A.J. Pruszynski back, they do not – I don't think they want him to be the everyday guy again next year. And Christian Bethencourt, they have provided every indication that he has fallen out of favor, and likely they'll be looking at other options, whether that's Matt Wieters finding a guy on the trade market or Chris – even just going to get a guy like Chris Iannetta. That remains to be seen. So, yes, there are plenty of questions. And like I said, with the bullpen, they want to add a piece or two there. And in the rotation, while there is depth, there is not a lot of experience. So there may be a need to at least look at the possibility to get a number three or number four guy who's logged some innings, a guy that some of these young guys can lean on. So, hey, maybe it will end up being just busy. I just can't anticipate anything being as busy as last winter.
Philosophically, I kind of wonder about 16. I think it's a really interesting year because, you know, we talked about the number one pick, and there's been some talk about the incentives and just how generally if you're not winning this year, then frankly the advantage is to lose this year. But I don't think the Braves really liked that, and there's it's kind of a weird year. And so I guess what I'm asking is, while certainly I would think that the plan is still on track and the goal is still to build for 17, to have a winning team to put in the new ballpark, do they view 16 any differently just in light of kind of how this season has turned? Do they do anything more just to kind of make sure that it doesn't peter out like this, or do they accept that that's kind of the cost of doing business when you're trying to build for the long term?
I think that the embarrassment that they have felt over the last 2 months, which is self-inflicted. I mean, when you look at them, everything that they gave up in late July and what they got in return in terms of major league ready talent, it's not – I mean, nobody ever expects it to get as bad as it did throughout much of the past 2 months. But at the same time, you look at what they were left with their bullpen and how young their rotation was. And they had to know that they were going to struggle throughout most of these down the stretch here. And, you know, there have been some signs of encouragement with the Matt Whistler, some of the young relievers like Matt Marksberry, that they're at least here the last couple of weeks, there have been some signs of encouragement. But I do think this, the embarrassment of how bad things got probably will influence how aggressive they are during this offseason to at least try to put out a club or create a club that can play to a 500 record or at least remain somewhat competitive throughout most of the season. You look at it, it's been since, there hasn't been at any point since late July that you've even thought of the Braves as a playoff contender, and I don't think that sits well with John Schuerholz, who still has an influence on this club, and then obviously John Hart running the baseball operations. And you've got John Coppola, who has done a lot of the legwork, and they have basically told him that, the three of them together have said, hey, look, we're going to do whatever we can next year to make sure it's not an embarrassment. And from a marketing standpoint, you're moving into a new stadium. You can't have two consecutive years like this and just say, hey, look, we're going to be able to sell tickets just based on opening up a new building, I don't think. I think you have to create some excitement and at least erase some of the sour taste that has been created or that the fans have tasted over the last few months here.
You touched on that front office structure, and it's a really interesting one for a lot of reasons, in that they brought in John Hart, but they certainly seem to anticipate John Coppola being a big part of the future of that front office, and Schuerholz is still there. There are a lot of GM jobs open, and a lot of teams looking for young, smart guys to run their front offices. How many calls do you expect John Coppola to get this winter, and do you anticipate maybe the Braves will have to do anything sort of preemptively if they want to keep him around?
Yeah, well, I do expect John Coppola to be around, and he will be because there were teams that were interested. The Brewers showed some interest. The Mariners were ready to interview him. And the Braves recognized this, and they've had some discussions with him, and now he will the structure of the front office will basically be the same. He will be given an increased, a better title, let's put it that way. But basically, he has done so much of the legwork, and John Hart has been there every step of the way with him. But Coppy has done all the heavy lifting, and John Hart has been there to serve as an advisor throughout this year, and he'll be doing the same next year. But I think if it, basically what we're going to see is Coppy will be basically given that cookie that he probably deserved to be given this past season a little bit. His title will be enhanced, and obviously his salary as well. So there were interests from other clubs, and I think that helped Coppy in the sense that the Braves said, "Hey, we've got to keep this guy."
To move to some more specifics, less sort of broad directional stuff. One guy you mentioned that we've of course talked about a lot here is Cameron Maben, and it's a little tougher to trade a guy coming off of a rough second half than off a hot first half. But I do wonder, do you think he's the one guy that might be most likely trade bait for continuing build this winter? Do you think, and I guess the other half of that is, would that by extension mean that Julio Teheran is maybe not as likely to be the guy that they dangle for whatever pieces they still want to bring in?
Yeah, I mean, I we've talked about that a lot with Teheran, and I think that we've reached that point where unless they were able to get just an absolute, blockbuster deal where it was a no-brainer to move him, I think that they're going to end up keeping him. You talk about moving Maben, how much are you going to get in return? Maybe you package him with some of your younger prospect arms, and maybe he's attractive. The one thing I will say about Cameron Maben, yes, he has struggled down the stretch. He's battled some injuries, which, while you can use that as an excuse, it's also somewhat of an alarm given the way his career has gone, and a lot of the nagging injuries. The one thing I have come to know about Cameron is he's a great guy to have around in terms of the effort level, his attitude within the clubhouse. He's the kind of player you'd like to have on your team. But based on what we've seen from him from a production standpoint, I don't think you can necessarily say, hey, look, he's the guy we want as our everyday center fielder. At the same time, if you are still in a transition mode, which I think the Braves should view themselves as being in that position next year, you know, that then maybe it is okay just to put him out there. I would certainly rather have him take my chances on him bouncing back and at least having some stretches like he did during the first half than I would, you know, giving Michael Bourne or somebody else the job there. So, you know, while they may evaluate what Maben's trade value is, I think he will be back next year as well.
All right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.